Honoring the sequence of the six events. Constant effort is required if we want to have the gospel restored to us individually. I suggest that many people fail to have this experience and to help others do so because they make one or more of the following mistakes. First, they violate the sequence of the events. Second, they focus on only one or two or a few events, but not all six. Or three, they forget that once the gospel has been fully restored to a person, the process must be continually renewed. Thus, the first key to experiencing the personal restoration is to honor the sequence of the six transcendent events. Let's quickly review that sequence and the important questions answered by those events. 1. The first vision. Who is God and who am I? 2. The restoration of the gospel through the Book of Mormon. Whose am I? 3. The restoration of the priesthood. How can I receive Christ? 4. The restoration of the church. Where do I go to receive Christ? 5. The restoration of the keys of salvation for the living and the dead. What is the work I should do in life? 6. The restoration of the temple ordinances. Why did God bring about the restoration? As I said in the introductory section, the when question is answered by the sequence of these six events. I believe this is truly the heart of the Lord's problem-solving model. And I think the biggest mistake we make in parenting, teaching, leading, and building relationships is that we don't honor the sequence he established in this model. In my view, knowing when to do what is the essence of wisdom. In bringing the world out of a state of apostasy, God gave us a perfect pattern to use in working with our family members and other people. How did he do it? Notice that he revealed light and knowledge in a particular order. First, he dealt with identity and relationships. Then concepts, that is the gospel. Then structure or organization, that is the ordinances in the church. And finally, actions or behavior. That's very important. If we want to help our children or other people change their behavior, we begin by improving the quality of our relationships with them. And we introduce new ideas before we introduce new expectations and controls. In other words, we help them see the world differently. When a person's paradigm changes, everything else changes with it. The Lord's model teaches us that conceptual interventions should always precede structural interventions. And this pattern applies to everything we do in life. In my professional field of organization development, I am deeply interested in change. How do we change an organization or a culture? How do we change a person? The best way to find out is to study how God does it, because he is the master of change. How does he bring about change among his children? As we examine what he does, we see that everything takes place line upon line, precept upon precept. There is no quick, easy shortcut. So if we want to help business or professional organizations become more effective, for example, we must change the way people think before we change their structures and systems. By laying a solid foundation and then building on it one step at a time, we can eventually arrive at partnership agreements that provide a clear mutual understanding of what is expected. This concept of sequence is one of the most important things I've learned in my personal and professional work. As Joseph Smith put it, it is necessary for us to have an understanding of God himself in the beginning. If we start right, it is easy to go right all the time. But if we start wrong, we may go wrong, and it will be a hard matter to get right. Close quote. To use the Lord's problem-solving model effectively, we must honor the sequence. I often ask audiences, how many of you crammed in school? How many got good at it? How many of you have worked on a farm? Have you ever crammed on the farm? If a farmer forgets to plant in the spring and plays all summer, it doesn't matter how hard he works during the harvest season. He won't have a crop.